Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXII, forward to the third edition. We'll be starting with the third paragraph that begins with the basic principles of the AA program. And we'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending with sharing experience, strength, and hope, reading and commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Christina M., who will be reading the 12 steps. Terry H. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Julie E.B., Jordan L., and Christina J. The share ID for Thursday, March 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,697. 18697. And this morning's Friday, March 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,704. That's 18704. Our newcomer greeter for today is Dana P., and Shelley E. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thanks so much. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina M. And good morning, Terry H., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you so much for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a compulsive overeater, and the 12 traditions are, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon FAA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as God is expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation to all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to start today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXII, the foreword to the third edition. We're reading the third paragraph that begins with the basic principles of the AA program, reading through two paragraphs, ending with sharing experience, strength, and hope. So we'll be reading and comment on both those paragraphs. So good morning, Julie E.B. If you could get us started, please.
Hi, this is Darwin. Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. The basic principles of the AA program, it appears, hold good for many individuals with many different lifestyles, just as the program has brought recovery to those of many different nationalities. The 12 steps that summarize the program may be called los doce pasos in one country, les doce etapas in another, but they trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by the earliest members of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. In spite of the great increase in size and span of this fellowship, at its core, it remains simple and personal. Each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. Well, thank you. As I said, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. I'm just so delighted that this lays this out in this way, that even on the third edition, there's this same simple and personal program. That's the core, simple and personal. And a lot of times we like to talk about our meetings, our Big Book, a lot of aspects of our program. But the one thing that is so key for my recovery, and I recently had 5 years, thank God, out of the food, one day at a time, and out of the insanity. I'm thankful and grateful to be recovered. You know, at 42, I was over 300 pounds, bedbound, dying. And today I'm living at peace, neutral with the food, and able to handle the ups and downs of life, not because I can handle it, but because my higher power in me helps me. And this is so amazing, because what worked for me was recovery beginning with one addict talking to another, sharing experience, strength, and hope. So it's easy to talk about, oh, I need to listen to this meeting or this meeting or this meeting, or I need to call this person to make this many outreach calls. But the truth is, for me, when I was doing that, I could just dodge the truth. When I started working just one person with another, when I took on what I call a sponsor, what some people call a step guide, and went through these steps, and I let them know me, I learned to trust them, I learned to trust my higher power, I learned to handle what happened when they were human, I learned to turn to my higher power instead of being sponsor dependent, and this started with one person talking to another. So for all the fancy things and for all the great things in this book, for me, it was about reading the book, every page, including the prefaces and forewords, with my sponsor and with other people in this program, with many recovered and still recovering sponsees since, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. That's really all I have to offer. So whatever language it is, I tried to say the words right, because there's a part of me that still thinks I need to do things right. So I called my daughter, who's fluent in Spanish and learning French, and but then I still couldn't remember. But I'm on the same path. Whether I can pronounce these names or not, I'm on the same path to recovery, one person working with another. For me, as an addict, if I go and I start calling a bunch of different people, I can get a bunch of different answers about food, about life, about different steps they follow. But for me, when my sponsees ask why I do it a certain way, I say, this is how it was shared with me. This is what I have to share. There's other ways out there. Feel free to work with someone in that way. I know my, you know, working with me may not work for you, but one working with another, I can't dodge and weave the way that I like to as an addict. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
And thank you so much, Julie Eby, for getting us started this morning. So again, we're on page XXII, forward to the third edition, the third paragraph, beginning with the basic principles of the AA program, reading through two paragraphs, ending in sharing experience, strength, and hope. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning on those two paragraphs?
Kristen R.
Sherry D.
So
Kristen R. Who is the gentleman? Was that Larry?
Yes, Larry G.
And who came in after Larry? Sherry D.
Cynthia C.
Sherry, was that it?
Z as in zebra.
Cynthia Z. And Sherry, was that a D as in dog?
No, it's a Z as in zebra.
Oh, you're the Z. Okay. And Cynthia, what was your initial?
Cynthia C, please.
Cynthia C. Okay. Thanks. And anyone else?
Danielle W.
Danielle W. Okay, we will
Susan
stop there.
Susan S.H. I was muted.
Susan S.
Sorry.
Susan S.H., that's fine. Okay, so I have I think it was Kristen or Christina. So Kristen R., Larry G., Sherry Z., Cynthia C., Danielle W., and Susan S.H., and please be sure to give your name, your initial, and the state you're calling from. So was it Kristen or Christina?
Kristen.
Kristen, okay, I did have it right. Okay, Kristen, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I live in Virginia, and I am a compulsive overeater. What this really poetic kind of paragraph tells me is that I need other people to work this program. I can't work it in isolation, can't work it without a sponsor. I can't work it without other fellows to help me do 10 steps. And I need other people. And for someone like me who naturally isolates and is more than willing to spend my days all alone, and is in my disease, I should say, it's hard for me to reach out. It's hard for me to connect with other people. But I find when I do, I feel recovered. I feel like the food is a distant memory. And I feel closer to my higher power when I connect with other people. So part of my disease is staying in isolation. So every day I need to connect with other people. I need to reach out. I need to be making phone calls. Because this is how the early AAs did it. They worked together for recovery. They didn't work in isolation. So I'm just so grateful for this program, and I'm grateful for everyone on the line today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen R. in Virginia. And Larry G., go ahead, please. You're followed by Sherry Z.
Thank you for your service, Kathleen. Larry G. from California. I usually pipe up when something is read that really moves me. And this last reading, this last paragraph about one alcoholic or one compulsive eater can reach another compulsive eater, it just sends chills down my spine. That's our original legacy. I mean, before all these different type of means we've had and literature, our original legacy was Bill, a washed up stockbroker on Wall Street, and Dr. Bob, a walking malpractice suit, got together. And when no one else could understand or hear them, they were able to reach each other, and then this movement began. And I, over my lifetime, I've lived my life as large as I can live it. And as a practicing alcoholic in high school, I was kicked out of a Letterman's Club. I was asked to leave the Key Club. I went to university and was on the dean's list. It wasn't for grades. It was for acting out one night when I drank. And I was also asked to leave a Rotary Club early on in my career when I was in my early 20s before I got in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the one place I've never been asked to leave is my 12-step family. I've done my best, right, to be disruptive. I've done my best to violate the traditions during meetings, but no one's ever asked me to leave. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you live your life. The disease in Alcoholics Anonymous, we live our life in the world, for our world to see our disease. And over years Anonymous, I wasn't asked to leave anything because in the end, I was isolating at home. And that's the loneliest place on the planet, I think, to be a overeater, compulsive eater in relapse. And now I have you. I have met the most wonderful people in the world. Just a few of you have I met face-to-face. But I feel at any time I could call somebody, they can call me, and we can be as vulnerable as if we were face-to-face and we knew each other for a lifetime. Why? Because we know each other for a lifetime. We are compulsive readers. We know everything about each other, and we can relate, and we can empathize, and we can give each other comfort when no one else can. I just feel like I'm part of a really great movement here, this vision for you. I take this spirit in my life every single day. It has saved my life. There's been days where I have wanted to compulsively eat or act out. But I think of you. I think of the phone call the next day. I'll pick the pen up, write a 10-step, call somebody. Somebody will pick the phone up, take that 10-step. And whatever I was dealing with in the moment is gone. I have another 24-hour reprieve, and I thank you for that, and I thank every single one of you in this call, every single day, for showing up and be part of this fellowship. I pass it back to you, Catherine. Kathleen.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. And good morning, Sherry Z. You're up, followed by Cynthia C.
Good morning. This is Sherry Z., recovered in California. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the lead. I read Recovery Begins When One Alcoholic Talks, and for so many years, I used my sponsor as that's where recovery ends. I needed to talk to her about every single decision, and I just substituted her for another quick fix. I didn't want God. I didn't want to totally surrender. I wanted someone else to tell me what I was supposed to do. And the minute I had a decision to make, I would call her and say, you know, talk to me about what you did. And that's not what the big book instructs. Recovery begins when one alcoholic talks to another, sharing experience, strength, and hope. She's sharing her experience and strength with hope with how to recover by surrendering to God. and I made my sponsor my higher power. And when I found vision, my sponsor wouldn't let me. She'd be like, oh, God, go to God, go to God. And made it very clear that I couldn't, like, I was to ask her questions about her experience in Strength and Hope in working the steps and working the big book, but not to make her my higher power. And it was uncomfortable at first, really uncomfortable, because I wanted someone to tell me, oh, in this situation, you do this. And what's happened in being in vision and being recovered is that I hear God much more because I listen much more. And I hear God when I sponsor, now when I sponsor people, I hear God all over the place because I'm willing to listen and I'm not rushing the response. I'm not rushing for the answer. I'm just sitting, waiting. And I understand now deeply why I ate, because I don't like waiting. I have a defect of character of patience. Terribly scared of not knowing. I'm scared of not being perfect. But what these rooms are teaching me is recovery begins when I share that with my sponsees and when my sponsor shares that with me. Not here's what you do, but here's how it feels. And I'm just so, so grateful. I'm in a challenging moment in life, as if any moment is not challenging, and I'm just really grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all that come to the meeting and to all that do service. I'm truly blessed by you and by God. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry C. in California. Cynthia C., you're up, followed by Danielle W. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Good morning. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, and everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This is such an incredibly, incredibly strong meeting and really what I needed to hear this morning. We definitely need each other, you know. I need to hear the message today. I need to hear our other, you know, recovered and recovering or not recovered compulsive overeaters speak and share their experience, strength, and hope and their struggles. And I need to speak. Yesterday was a really big day. It was a Jewish holiday of Purim where our house fills up with lots of baked goods that were once good, you know, foods that I could not stop eating. I mean, literally could not stop eating. They were a massive binge food. And when our house would fill up on Purim, I couldn't stop eating. And I remember being so miserable and dreading the day because I couldn't stop eating all the food that was brought in our house. I wouldn't even show my family some of the gifts that were food that were brought in because I didn't want to share. Like, I wanted it all to myself, and I was closet eating. So I really, like, with everything else going on yesterday, it sort of escaped me until last night that I had no desire to eat those foods. None of those foods were mine. None of those foods were mine. They didn't speak to me. They didn't call my name. And I think I sometimes forget the gift of the neutrality around food, which I only get from working the 12 steps in this program. The other thing yesterday was also the 9th anniversary of my brother's suicide. And it's just really painful for me. It's really, really, really painful. And so looking back at yesterday and looking at the fact that I didn't eat any of my alcoholic foods. I wasn't binging. You know, I that was a gift. That was a gift. And I realized last night that I hadn't really had any time, because it's a day of the Jewish holiday where you're focused on being joyous. I wasn't completely joyous, and B, didn't really have time to process any of those feelings. And I didn't sleep well last night. And I got up this morning and just knew, whether or not I was able to bring myself to do my 11th step today, that I could get on a meeting and I could connect in with fellows. I can connect in with fellows, and I don't have to do this day on my own. I am not alone. And I don't have to pick up the food, and today the food is not my answer. And, you know, I'm prepping food for a weekend, and, you know, all of it is abstinent food. Like, all of it is abstinent food. And you know, there's no planning. There's no, like, subterfuge or manipulation or figuring out how to get my needs met with food or junk food or binge food. And but I think I really, five years in, I forget what a gift that is. Thank you so much. That I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. And Danielle W., you're up, followed by Susan S.H. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. This is Danielle W., recovered in Southern California. You know, the part of these paragraphs that really spoke to me this morning were the words sharing experience, strength, and hope. That was a really different paradigm for me. You know, I just had never been in a group that had sort of that generosity of spirit. And for me, it allowed me to be attracted to this way of life and to show up and continue showing up. You know, to hear other people share experience in such an honest way allowed me to start trusting, you know, that somebody else would be so vulnerable and open and willing and generous to talk about their story. It allowed me to identify in, and it made me feel safe in a way I hadn't before. And it was done without judgment. You know, the group would support that. And so that, for me, was the first thing that kind of held me, is that somebody was willing to share that experience. But then it just got even better, because instead of somebody then telling me what to do, they just showed me what they did. They shared their strength with me. You know, and for me, that strength really showed up in people's willingness to work the steps. It takes a lot of courage, in my opinion, to get through a fourth step, to get through a ninth step. And so I was able to see somebody else's strength. It gave me a path to walk that I didn't fully understand, but I was encouraged by that. And then the best part is the hope. You know, I had been in other groups before where it became just sort of a complain fest. You know, people would lament all of their problems, but it didn't go anywhere. And when I was able to hear somebody else's hope and see their recovery, it gave me hope. It gave me hope when I didn't have anything else. And it's really miraculous when I think about the way that this program works and why it embraces us and it allows us to be a part of. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Danielle W. in California. And after Susan S.H. is up next, and after Susan, we'll be taking some more names. We're on the page XXII, the forward to the third edition, the third paragraph, the basic principles of the AA program, reading through two paragraphs ending with sharing experience, strength, and hope. So go ahead, please, Susan S.H.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful to be here. What I heard in these paragraphs, really, it's how is it that a higher power can put these things together at the right time, that they just make sense? I took a couple calls yesterday, and I didn't feel like, oh, I don't have the answer. I don't have their answer. But what I can do is listen to their humanness, the same humanness that's in me, and I can read the directions in the book. And the directions in the book always lead back to a higher power. I'm not a fixer. And I'm just another addict. We share our humanness. And truly, it was so clear that is where I'm the most useful, in listening and helping people, reminding people, as I need to be reminded, go back to a higher power. So, guide to your directions. Yeah, okay. We're all different, but we share so much. I don't necessarily understand everything about their life, and I don't need to. I understand they're human. They have this disease as I do, and they're reaching out for that hope that is here. Each day when I talk to another compulsive overeater, recovered or not recovered, as a sponsor or just as a fellow in program. More recovery and more being revealed begins and continues when one addict speaks to another. So yeah, I'm very grateful for how simple and easy it is for us to reach out and share with each other. And I'm grateful for a chance to discuss it here. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan SH in Ohio. And who else would like to share who has not shared in the last 3 days on the third and fourth paragraph, the foreword to the third edition, page XXII?
Miriam J. Can I share?
Okay, I didn't hear anybody. So try again.
Miriam J. From Massachusetts.
Miriam J.
Carol G. from Illinois.
Carol G.
Joan R. from Oregon.
Joan R.
Deborah G. Arizona.
Deborah G. in Arizona. Okay, start with the four of you. So I have Miriam J., Carol G., Joan R., and Deborah G. So go ahead, please, Miriam J. in Massachusetts.
Good morning. Good morning, Miriam J. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Thank you for your service this morning. What a great meeting. I've really enjoyed everyone's share. And what really struck me this morning is that very end of what we read, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. My journey started in the original 12-step program. And I needed that recovery, and people would offer all kinds of advice, whatever, the routine. And it wasn't until there was another recovering alcoholic who reached out to me and understood exactly what I was living through that I could admit my alcoholism and begin my recovery. And I did that. And then another recovering alcoholic reached out to me and brought me to OA, which I desperately needed as well. And if she had not shared her experience, I wouldn't have gone. I would have thought, and I did think for a long time, that, the same 12 steps, I should be able to recover all my addictions just by going to AA. And that didn't work for me. And thank God there was this woman who was a double winner. And, it's that divine thread. I really do believe in it, that there is this divine thread throughout my entire life, bringing the right people into my life, having them share their experience, strength, and hope, that gives me hope and the willingness to take the next step in my recovery. And, and this just came back to me. I hadn't thought of those two people in a while. And I'm just so grateful this morning. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Miriam J. in Massachusetts. Carol G., you are up next. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks so much. Hi, fellows. The thing that struck me was, before I came into program, I was always lonely and wanting girlfriends. And it seemed like the only basis for my friendships was that I would be like their psychologist. I think a lot of it was because I lived so much in my head that I got really good at analyzing everything. And so even though I couldn't run my own life, I could still figure things out and analyze it for my friends. But then when I needed somebody and looked around, I just felt nobody could help me. So I always felt dissatisfied. I always felt there was like a distance there. either was up or down, the way we talk about either feeling superior or inferior. And I couldn't even be around women that were too superior because I'd feel so bad about myself that I couldn't be around them. I'd be envious or whatever. But since being in program, it's just so marvelous. I mean, I have made some great friends in this program, really good friends. And even people that we do outreach calls with that we've never met before, there's a bond there and an understanding. And if they're in recovery and I'm in recovery, it's like a love fest. I mean, how many conversations can you have in this world where both people are positive and raising each other up? You know, before it's just so much like listening to someone talk about their problems, going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I get my turn to talk about my problems. And it's kind of like, well, I know I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to try to solve my problems myself and figure it out with someone else. It's like I turn it over to my higher power and work my program. So all I could say is I'm just so appreciative of being able to have real relationships and come as a whole person and to be able to experience a closeness and intimacy. It's kind of cool. Some of my friends were both like becoming more intimate as we go along, and sometimes we're not sure. This is something new. We're getting closer to people. Oh, my gosh. But it's wonderful, and it doesn't really matter one's age. It's like when you're there, you're there. So anyway, I just love it, and I'm just very appreciative. So thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Carol G. in Illinois. And Joan R., go ahead, please. You're up, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for all the really beautiful shares in this. Anyways, the part that is speaking to me this morning is, at its core, it remains simple and personal. And that truly has been what I needed. If, you know, in my non-recovery, I could complicate anything and make everything hard. Life was just too hard for me. And I really loved that share about the divine thread. And I also can look back and see how there has been a divine thread that has had people show up when I, you know, this right person, the right time. And so right now I'm experiencing 2 weeks of the kind of abstinence that I have been seeking, and with the 10-step promises. And I'm just so, so grateful. It's so very different. So, anyways, I speak share this sharing as, you know, to share with the newcomers and those that are struggling. Don't give up. That's probably my greatest asset, that I haven't given up. And one time, this wonderful sponsor, I told her I was going to quit. And she goes, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I was like, oh yeah, I can't really live without working these steps in this program. And I love the share that everything that is sponsors, we share. And what moved me the most was the sponsors who led me through the big book words right back to God. So and now I, you know, having this defective mind and food allergies, that this is where I'm getting the most help, and staying with the big book, learning the big book. My sponsor was definitely a person who could who knew the big book. So I became a big book student, and that has really helped me a lot. God is in charge. yay. And so that's it. Thank you for letting me share, and God bless you.
Thank you, Joan R. in Oregon. And before I take Deborah, I just want to remind everyone we're on page XXII, forward to the third edition. We're on the third and fourth paragraph. And after Deborah G., I'll be able to take a couple more names. So go ahead, please, Deborah G.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for leading the meeting this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And it just feels so nice to know that there's people all over the world walking the same path. I remember when I went to a Native American International and they had first promoted the Big Book in their language, the native language. And it was just so wonderful. And they really work on awesome recovery because of that book. And I love that book, that it's a common thing that I can live by and everyone else can live by, and I can help people live by. You know, that there's something there that has worked for so many, many people, and it still continues to work for so many people. And we're all doing this together, holding hands, and a way of living. Talking with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. My experience with that, going through those pages, first 164, and living that way and sharing that with others. Oh, and then hearing that from others, how they're sharing it, you know, it's just, oh, what a way to live. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. in Arizona. So I have time for about two more shares. Would anyone who hasn't shared in the last 3 days want to share on this third and fourth paragraph on page XXII?
Nadia B.
Nadia B.
Anyone Karen
else?
Karen T.
Karen T. Okay. Go ahead, please, Nadia.
Thank you, everyone. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And what struck me in this paragraph that, you know, language of the heart is spoken all over the world. But the program is very simple, and we can all follow it. You know, just like the Big Book teaches us that, you know, God doesn't make it too hard on those who seek. And it's, you know, pretty simple. And when we start, when we begin with what we're taught, you know, step one or step zero, you know, putting the food down, understanding what condition we have, you know, asking for that help, asking someone else to guide us through the work. Only then, you know, recovery begins, but it's only a beginning. Because there is a lot of work of spiritual growth, and that's why I think we are all still here, you know, all, 173 of us here on the line today. And what a blessing to have this program that has mushroomed, you know, into every country, every continent. And today we get to you know, work this simple program, which was spreaded by the word of the mouth first, because it is so simple. And yeah, whether it's, you know, whatever country you come from, each day somewhere in the world, recovery begins with one alcoholic talking with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And for me, you know, that's where my, you know, life, I would say, began, when I was able to leave my alcoholic foods behind, my fears of, you know, how I'm going to eat and not to eat or live and without those foods, and started talking to someone who, in whom the program has been, the problem has been solved, who's taken me through this, you know, simple program of action. And yeah, I'm very blessed to have the beginning of life right there, the beginning of my spiritual life. And, you know, thank God for this path to recovery that was placed by earliest members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. in Connecticut. And Karen T., go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Karen T., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you so much to everyone who's given service on this meeting. I really appreciate it. I'm sure other people have said this, but we have to trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by its earliest members of AA. And that's what this book is, right? To show us how they exactly did it so that we can exactly do it. There's that old game of telephone, that oral, when you tell somebody something and you whisper it to them, the message gets all garbled. Word of mouth, talking to one another, the message can get garbled. But that's why they wrote it down, right? So we have to keep going back to the written instructions, which are the big book, and so that we can get it straight from the first 100 men and women who wrote this book. And that's why they've never changed the big book. And that's why we get to deal with 1930s language. And language has changed since the 1930s. We're much more gender inclusive now. And much more, well, we're just used to language as it is now. But there's a general idea that if we start changing the big book, we may not be able to then trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by its earliest members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I loved what another speaker just said, you know, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks to another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. I had the privilege of going to a face-to-face meeting yesterday, and there was a person there who was at his second meeting ever. And it was so exciting to share experience, strength, and hope, and to be, you know, this idea that his recovery is just beginning. And I got to be a very small part of that, but it is just a beginning. So thank you all very much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen T. in Louisiana. And sorry, Bruce, we are out of time. So we'll have to wait for your share on Monday. Okay, and thank you, everyone, for all your really wonderful shares this morning. Very inspiring, very powerful. And a special thanks to Team Friday. So we are going to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Jordan L., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Kathleen, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm grateful to be abstinent and on the meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.